got me, Brian? You got me going all right. Thank you, brother, for your expertise on that electronic equipment. It's a very, very sobering declaration, warning in the first part of Hebrews 6. These people would not go on, and they turned back, and now it is impossible to regain them again into repentance. And people won't consider that. That's the last part of Proverbs 1. To the simple who will believe, he promised, in Proverbs chapter 1, he promised to pour out his spirit upon us. And then a stern warning. They rejected him and refused him, and they called out on him later, and he laughed at them from heaven. I was preaching in North Arkansas, a series on that subject, and sometime later, they had a meeting and called the pastor to task and told him, don't have that false prophet Carter back. They don't know that God. They don't know the God he's preaching about. He was weeping on the phone. And I said, brother, they're just telling you the truth. Listen, this is the God of the Bible. Our God's a consuming fire. All right, Hebrews chapter 6. I want to begin reading in verse 9. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, titled God's Covenant of Grace, he made with himself. Verse 14, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Boy, it's not so in most of humanity today, but honest, sensible people it is. Verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is entered for... Help me, Lord. Pardon me, people. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Thank you. You can be seated. I'm mindful of my need for the Holy Ghost to be the teacher. As the question opening, what caused Christ to show mercy and have mercy and forgiveness on that woman? What caused God to do these acts of mercy? God forced Adam to face him, hemmed him up, provided an innocent, I believe, lamb. It's not in the text, but I believe lamb as a sacrifice, the innocent slain for the guilty. Cain, taught by his dad, I believe, refused in wise counsel and brought the very best of his works. He's the original founder of the modern New Age movement and all church-related nonsense. Abel, by faith, offered a more excellent sacrifice. The innocent slain for the guilty. So we have the God of all mercy requiring, yea, demanding it of human beings to be accountable to him and his sacrifice. Another question. What caused God to show Noah grace? He found it. How did he find it? Did he qualify some way? Now, my pastor had three definite things about Noah that he propagated to us that you had to do. But he read that in. It's not in the text. What caused God to call Abraham out of idolatry? Why Abraham? God's covenant of grace that he made with himself is the cause. He made a covenant with himself. Romans chapter 4. I plan to come back, Sister Sharon, to that text, but just in case I don't, well, just bear with me. Romans chapter 4. Reading here concerning Abraham and David, and I would make a comment before the reading. God gave his covenant, made his covenant with Abraham, confirmed it, and then reconfirmed it with David. Now, I used to think the reason they mentioned here in Paul's presentation of God's grace covenant with himself, I thought it was because Abraham and David were champions and heroes in Israel, and that's a fact. But what it is this thing that he revealed and affirmed and confirmed to these two men. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh had found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. And God will not go that way. Cain is the first human being, one of the first human beings on earth found that out. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, dear people, that's an Old Testament truth. And a New Testament truth. Because God could not swear by any greater, he swore on himself. Though he failed in his flesh, Abraham believed God. And he believed God was keep his covenant of grace. God promised, that is, gave his covenant to Abraham before circumcision. That's in this reading. Now, if you read back at that time when God made that covenant, are you sure we ready for this? Abraham couldn't stay awake. And he went to sleep. I heard a fella trying to stab at that, what that was. But that's how important Father Abraham was in this covenant of grace that God made with himself. Now, Abraham's important, no doubt. The Bible calls him the father of our faith. But God made the covenant with himself, sweet people. God gave his covenant promise. Before Abraham, before the circumcision. Now, verse 16, faith believes that God will keep his covenant of grace. Who against hope believed in hope. And that's concerning his son now, this promised one, that God could raise up from the dead on that altar. Abraham really believed that. Verse 19 through 22, I'm briefing this. Abraham staggered not, but was fully persuaded. And then David. Though David failed, and I put the word miserably, like Carter has and did and does. Though David failed in his flesh, he believed God. Yeah. And we have to stick with the Bible here, or we're going to have these two men in getting in some kind of qualifying position because of their faith. Faith cometh. The Bible presents it to us, New Testament people, as the faith of Jesus Christ. That faith is a gift is an indisputable truth of the Bible. Though David failed in his flesh, he believed God. And David was blessed to see that God would not impute his sin to him. That is, mark it down on his account. But he would impute the righteousness of the Messiah Son to him. Boy, that is really something. Listen, it's This is the way I see it by way of pictorial acting it out. God took my sins and put them on Christ, and he died for them. And God took Christ's righteousness and imputed it to me. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And Phyllis said to me, man, if I believe that, I'd go sin all I wanted to. And I said, now see, you ain't even getting close to it.
No, not even close.
He said, I give people an excuse to sin. I said, oh, come on now, be honest. People don't need an excuse to sin. They're born it, conceived in it, born in it. Go forth from their mother's womb speaking lies. Now, people do use this wonderful, wonderful truth and doctrine to try to excuse themselves. But that don't annul the truth. No, this is God's covenant. And he blessed it. God imputed the righteousness of Christ to us. Let me hasten on to say to us modern day electronically induced people, God will and does chasten every son he receives. Where if you be without chastisement, you are a bastard and not a son. Now, you know the bastard. He knows his mama. He just don't know who his daddy is. And that's too many church people, folks. They try to pull themselves up, try to qualify themselves, and preachers have led the way in this. Every denomination has got some qualifying place or position we get into. I used to holler at some of the old full gospel people I had kinfolks in there, and they'd let me come preach. I used to lie and say they was courting me, but the truth was I was courting them because I like to preach. And I used to challenge them right then. I said, well, you say you got the Holy Ghost. Let me ask you, how did you got him? And we Baptist people say, I got saved. Oh, yeah, how did you got yourself saved? Now, here's the truth of the matter. Faith cometh. How did you receive the Spirit? By the hearing of faith. And then the question is, are you now made perfect by the flesh? God's covenant of grace that he made with himself. Back to our text that's sharing in Hebrews chapter 6. Because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. God made his covenant with himself. He confirmed it to Abraham and reconfirmed it. That's in chapter 15, Genesis, chapter 22 of Genesis. And he reaffirmed it with King David, firmed it up with him. I reread that. It just briefed it in Romans 4. In Genesis 22:8, there's a statement I've heard preached many, many times. And my brother-in-law Paul is preaching this morning. He did a presentation comparing that passage with the Messiah sacrifice. And as good as any, I wish we'd have taped it and put it on national television. He just did good. Bear with me in my folly. That's my wife's baby brother, and he's just one of my favorites. Show my bias. God will, Genesis 22:8. Father, where's the sacrifice? God will and did provide himself a lamb for an offering. God confirmed and fulfilled this covenant with himself in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Angel said, that holy thing within thee. And I heard it argued, a couple of fellas are jawing about the peccability and impeccability of Christ. And I was listening, and they weren't talking about chickens. Well, they were talking about a serious matter here, pecking, impeccable. That one verse settled it for me, dear people, when that angel said, that holy thing,
yes, sir,
in you.
Yeah.
No, he didn't sin. Couldn't sin. No lust of man in him.
Right.
He didn't have, he was the seed of Abraham, but he didn't have the seed of Adam. He's begotten by God himself. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. I was preaching that on the university one time. Bear with me, this is almost vulgar. This sick pervert said, hey, wow, awesome. I was impressing and insisting on them they believe in this virgin-born Son of God. And that's what I told the old man yesterday. Oh, here I am. Called him old man. He probably wasn't old as me. about that virgin son. You got to believe that. How did Christ come into this world? Through a virgin's womb.
Right.
And this sick pervert on the university campus said, well, awesome. God committed adultery with a virgin. I love it. Now, if I hadn't been a Christian, I'd have bumped his nose. That's a blasphemy for anybody to think like that. Even a sick pervert. I said, boy, you better get your mind above your belt buckle. Probably for the first time since you hit puberty, you'll die in your sins and be cast into the lake of fire. This ain't just a little play like church stuff. God remembered Luke 6, 167 through 73. This is what it was. To remember his, God's holy covenant. That old brother said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. John declares, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Yeah, we won't go there, but in Hebrews chapter, yeah, go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I think I'm through with that. Hebrews 6, for when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're pretty close here. Just go ahead and turn there. The first part is because the law is a shadow, just a shadow of things to come. Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. I got to back up to verse 5. Pardon me. Bear with me. Wherefore he saith, wherefore he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. What's going on? The same God that took dust and made a man, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. He deliberately sinned, and God took God's breath away from him, and there he goes, without the breath of God. And that conversion, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us by the washing of regeneration. That's God's work, and renewing of the Holy Ghost. At our conversion, God puts God's breath back in us. But what's going on about this God that took dust and made a man? This is beautiful, people. I just sit, brother. I caught this brother just sitting this morning, thinking. And he saw me catch him, and he said, I was trying to prepare myself for the meeting. Praise God. This same all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God that made this covenant with himself prepared a body in a virgin's womb. Listen, I told that old fella yesterday, part of our gospel message is this. God was in Christ. It's a prayer. It's amazing how people will blink at that. We believe all this stupid nonsense about all this. I was thinking about three fools, goofy, stupid movies, Harry and all this pottery and all that stuff. And then blink at God being in Christ. If I understand that 2 Corinthians passage, it's part of our message as ambassadors for Christ.
Yes, sir.
That's really. I told that old fellow, I said, listen, how can you make yourself believe that a virgin had a baby? He went to blinking like a toad frog in a hailstorm. Just. This is beautiful, people. This great God made the covenant with himself, and he brought it to pass. It unfolds. Christ came and fulfilled the law of God in his body. Christ established the second covenant or new covenant in his blood. It's in this chapter. Won't read it for time. I just want to read one. Where are we at? Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins.
Thank you, Lord.
Who can finish that? Sister Reggie, ain't that sweet, sister? Now, we'll remember them. Other people are glad to help us remember. But God don't remember. Don't be a little critical here. We sing little songs and preach little things that sounds good but ain't good in sound. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. That ain't right. God ain't got no forgetfulness. If he forgot them, he might remember them. Listen, people, they paid for just exactly the way God covenanted with himself in eternity. We come along and start making excuses. My own grandson, I wouldn't tell on him for nothing, but his name's James. He went to Iraq, and he got over and experienced some things to give him a little old flimsy excuse to start living like hell and living like he wanted to go to hell. And I'm pinned him about it, and he said, Papa, why did God let the devil come in the garden? I said, buddy. You ain't going to make it nowhere there. Adam's already tried that. Oh, you read it, didn't you?
Yeah.
The woman thou gavest me. He's trying to blame God. I said, James, that ain't going to work, son. Here's the truth. God made this covenant with himself. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost covenanted together. And the Lamb of God was slain from before the foundation of the world. Our names were written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Jesus Christ from before the foundation of the world. How much more security and assurance do you need? No wonder church people get aggravated at you for calling them to that truth. It takes away their little confidence in their decision and their praying and their repenting and their church stuff. Now that stuff's good and necessary. There are results of the new birth that are requirements. Ask Brother Barney, he can help you with that. It's just, I'm going to have to quit. It's time. The Holy Ghost is a witness to us, brother and sister. We have boldness. Let me read one more. Wait a minute, verse 18. I quit off reading too quick. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. Now you ain't just, to quote my buddy Eddie Brunson, you ain't going to just press up to God. You got to go through the veil. But if we're going to get into that holy of holies, we've got to come through the veil.
Yeah.
And it's this man, Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He kept his body on purpose. I like to tell the so-called Jehovah Witnesses, they're not witnesses for Jehovah. They got a few verses they memorized out of their world-corrupted edition of the Bible, and they're taking up collections. I like to tell them when they put their little stuff in the satchel and they're leaving because they ain't gonna stand it that two of Christ's name titles, according to Isaiah, is Everlasting Father and Mighty God. And I like to tell them, look, you're going to bow before him.
Yep.
You will bow before him. Let's do it now. Why? God made the covenant with himself. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, bodies washed with pure water. And that's in Ephesians, and it's the water of the Word. And some people conveniently drop that part out in Ephesians about the Word to try to prop up their so-called baptism of regeneration. Listen. Are you listening to me?
I'm listening. Come on.
God made that covenant with himself, brother. Can you believe that?
Can you actually
You believe that?
Yes, sir.
You people believe that?
Yes, sir.
What kind of deserving position did you get into to believe that?
Yeah, right.
This is the truth, Pastor. Praise God.